The reading is taken today from page 927 and in the large print, page 1649. We're reading from Jonah chapter 2, verse 1 to 10. Jonah's prayer. From inside the fish, Jonah prayed to the Lord his God. He said, "In my distress, I called to the Lord, and he answered me. From the depths of the grave, I called for help, and you listened to my cry. You hurled me into the deep, into the very heart of the seas, and the current swirled around me. All your waves and breakers swept over me. I said, 'I have been banished from your sight, yet I will look again towards your holy temple.' The engulfing waters threatened me. The deep surrounded me. Seaweed was wrapped around my head. To the roots of the mountains I sank down. The earth beneath barred me in forever. But you brought my life up from the pit, O Lord, my God. When my life was ebbing away, I remembered you, Lord, and my prayer rose to you, to your holy temple. Those who cling to worthless idols forfeit the grace that could be theirs. But I, with a song of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will make good. Salvation comes from the Lord." And the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The gospel can be found on page 1049 in the church Bibles, or page 1851 in the large print version. Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Luke 15, verses 11 to 24.
Glory to you, O Lord.
The parable of the lost son. Jesus continued, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, 'Father, give me my share of the estate.' So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him to the fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, 'How many of my father's hired men have food to spare? And here I am, starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired men.' So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' So they began to celebrate." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
As we stand to prayer, Lord, open our ears to hear your voice. We ask that we might know your mercy and your greatness today. Through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Please be seated. Jonah's Hard to Find, page 927, 928 is where we got to. It was A.A. Milne of Winnie the Pooh fame who said, I quote, "The Old Testament is responsible for more atheism, agnosticism, disbelief, call it what you will, than any other book ever written." I disagree with that totally. I think it's a very superficial reading of the Old Testament. But for some people, the book of Jonah is unbelievable. And perhaps you think about sharing your faith with friends who aren't believers, you perhaps think the book of Jonah isn't your best tract to introduce them to Jesus Christ with. Some people think the story is poetry or allegory and not historical. But I think we have here historical fact. It's not a literary creation. Let me tell you why. It's the author's conviction that it is a miraculous event, he reports, and asks us to accept his testimony. What we read is anchored within the life of a known prophet called Jonah, of known parentage, chapter 1, verse 1. He's also spoken about in 2 Kings, chapter 14, and his ministry in speaking the word of God to God's people. Notice also, verse 9 of chapter 2, salvation comes from the Lord. And such a truth claim cannot be maintained from an allegory. It doesn't bear investigation to say that God rescues and delivers if the rescue has no factual basis. Moreover, the historicity of this account alone explains the change in Jonah. It's a bridge between his disobedience and then him being obedient to the Lord. The New Testament doesn't tell us what sort of fish this was. It simply says it was a big fish. I wonder how acquainted you are with whales. They break the surface every hour to breathe, giving ample opportunity to swallow somebody. And also, they have a remarkable propensity for storing oxygen, not only in their lungs, but in all their body tissue. You would not drown or have no oxygen if you were swallowed by a whale. The grey whale, the right whale, the humpback whale, well, they eat smaller organisms in mostly cold water. They grow to over 100 feet long. The sperm whale, the cachalot, feeds on fish, squid, cuttlefish, scooping seafood from the bottom of the ocean, even large rocks. And yes, they're mostly in the warmer waters, the Mediterranean. They grow up to 63 foot long. Well, in the last 130 years, there are three well-documented cases, there must be others as well, which aren't documented, of people who've been swallowed by a whale or a cachalot. Case one, the whaling ship Star of the East was off the Falkland Islands in 1891. They lost a seaman called James Bartley after a bull cachalot struck a smaller whaling boat. And the cachalot was subsequently killed. And James Bartley was found alive in the stomach. The book I got this from, published in 1924, 63 is the engineering by Sir James Fox, simply says he was emotionally disturbed for a time and recovered well. But it goes on, except for bits where he had clothing on, and where his flesh was showing, his skin was bleached for life by the gastric juices. Case two, Sir John Bland Sutton, a British surgeon, reported an American seaman on the United States whaler Marshall Jenkins was swallowed up by a whale and then vomited out with the last meal of cuttlefish. Case 3, back in 1973. The Gulf Aqaba, an Arab, was swallowed by a cachalot. And this man managed to escape by cutting his way out with a very sharp jackknife. And he was interviewed by a man called Tom Peverson in 1973, a translator. And he talked about what happened to him in the Mediterranean. What's here in Job, in Jonah, is not fiction. There are examples of that down the years, and probably many more than we'll ever know about. It's a big cavity in a whale. I could probably get almost all of the musicians in. 14 foot long, 8 foot wide, 12 foot high. And the other reason I think this is history is Jesus Christ twins this story with his death and resurrection, which was historical. Matthew 12, as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of a whale, so the Son of Man will be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. Yes, here is history. And the question for you this morning is, will you listen to what God's saying to you from Jonah chapter 2? Notice first that we see Jonah sunk to the depths. Jonah is able to say the right things about God. We can't fault his doctrine, but his life is going in the opposite direction. He's not going where God wants him to go. He's fleeing to Tarshish. He's running from God. In chapter 1, verse 9, I am a Hebrew, and I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the earth. He knew God was creator. He even knew the storm was sent by God. And yes, he is deliberately disobedient, consciously deliberate, and now God sinks Jonah. Jonah abandons God, so God seems to abandon Jonah. And the word down comes again and again in this account. Down to Joppa, down below deck, down into the deep. And it's a repetitive word. He went down, down into the sea. Be warned, you'll always reap the fruit of disobedience to God's voice. Do you remember Romans 1? Paul says how God handed him over. You don't escape God. He'll hand you over if you ignore him. He was plunged into the deep, not merely by men who threw him overboard, but by God. And there's Jonah, who fears for losing his life. And if you ever listen to the transcripts of crashing aircraft, aeroplanes, they are pretty grisly often, because they often end, when they're played back from a black box, with a blasphemous crescendo of obscenities and curses against God. Well, Jonah's rather different. Verse 2, from the depths of the grave I called for help, the depths being Sheol, the place of the dead. He realized he's at death's door. You hurled me, verse 3, into the deep, into the very heart of the seas, and the currents swirled about me. All your waves and breakers swept over me. The engulfing waters threatened me, the deep surrounded me, and seaweed wrapped around my head. That was a Hebrew metaphor very often for the moment of death. He's using words from different psalms, like Psalm 18 and Psalm 25 and Psalm 22. Verse 6, to the roots of all mountains I sank down, the earth beneath barred me in forever. He's submerged in the seas, and barring a miracle, the earth and seas were about to forever incarcerate him. My life, verse 7, was ebbing away. Literally, he says, I was breathing my last. We see Jonah not just fears for losing his life, he also fears for losing his God. He had knowledge of God, but going in the opposite direction, what God wanted him to do. And God speaks to him as judge and gives him a verdict. Jonah, you're guilty. Verse 4, I said, I've been banished from your sight. What a change. Jonah now knows that anything is better than being abandoned by God. It's a terrifying position Jonah is in. For to lose his life on the run from God was surely to seal a godless destiny. He was sunk to the depths. There's no place to hide from God, and God will go that far to bring you to your senses. And the fear which surrounds him of losing yourself and God is in reality God's compassion. Perhaps you can think in your own life of some way in which God has sunk you and woken you up to your real need. We see first, Jonah sunk to the depth. Second, we see Jonah heard by the Lord. Did you notice, as this Jonah passage read, that 9 out of 10 verses are a prayer? He uses the phrases from the Psalms. They leap back into Jonah's mind as he faces his situation. There's Jonah in such a mess. And then he's not drowning ultimately, but he's delivered, although he's forsaken God. Although he'd done that, God had not forsaken him. And we see in this chapter 2, Jonah calling, remembering and vowing. I called, verse 2, in my distress I called to the Lord, and he answered me. Verse 7, his eyes were no longer on Tarshish, but rather towards the temple of God in Jerusalem. He remembers God's love. When my life was ebbing away, I remembered you, Lord, and my prayer rose to you, to your holy temple. And then he was a man who vowed, verse 9, but I, with a song of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you what I vowed I will make good. Salvation comes from the Lord. He goes from being desperate to contrite to wanting to serve God. He's back to his senses and back to God. It's a wonderful story in that way. And do you know, people get driven down. Think about that prodigal son. It's only when the squalor of his own life and the emptiness of it was he suddenly realized that he could return. He hoped to his father. He came to his senses, what Jesus says in that parable. Verse 8, those who cling to worthless idols forfeit the grace that could be theirs. Are you somebody who is not bothering with God's grace? Third, we see Jonah returned to the land, brought back safe in that big fish. Verse 10, the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land. It was a very undignified and unceremonial return to land. He wasn't whistled off the ship like they are from the naval ships and they dock. No, simply splurged out. His plight seemed inescapable, but in fact the fish gullet was a place of safety. And like Nineveh, who'd ignored God, Jonah deserved death, but in God's mercy and grace, he was delivered. And the fish obediently and doubtless gladly spewed out the indigestible object and no doubt swam off with a flick of its tail. Jonah had found salvation even before the fish had vomited onto dry land. That's apparent from his prayer. He found grace, undeserved love. I said at the start, do you really believe that Jonah chapter 2 could be a word of the Lord to you? It is. And let me conclude with this, because it contains vital lessons for every one of us. Reminded of a very loving God and a very powerful God. A very loving God. Jonah knew God was a new God. He was a believer, but he ran from God. He's disobedient. And perhaps you're aware you've been an obstacle to others by your disobedience and lifestyle. You've run far from God. Perhaps you've not yet come back to him. And perhaps you're wondering if God's mercy extends to you. I've had conversations most years here. When somebody has come to see me, I've been to see them, and they're deeply troubled. Because they say, can I be forgiven? Is there any hope for me? Can God ever welcome me back? Be encouraged, because the grace of God is unfathomable. I wonder where that leaves you. You see, the gospel for believers means that no failure is final. And perhaps in 20 years' time, you muck up terribly. You feel you're sunk to the depths. Come back to God. There's grace and forgiveness with him. Do you realize how loving our God is? And how powerful he is as well. God's not kept in his world. He can use creation, he can use men and women, he can use circumstances to fulfill his purpose. And God's purpose is to bring the gospel to the world. And we'll do that whether you join in that work or not. He can and will sink you and can do it for eternity if you ignore him. And don't acknowledge him who he is, a very loving God and a very powerful God. Matthew 12, verse 40, for as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of a huge fish, so the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. As Jonah was in living death and delivered by God to go and preach to Nineveh as a sign of God's concern for them, so bread and wine, symbolizing the death of Jesus Christ, the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, they are an ultimate sign of God's grace and mercy to us. And the cross means not just there's no place to hide, there's no need why anyone else should hide, because Jesus Christ's bloodshed brings forgiveness and grace to all who call out to him. Amen.